we just leave it very open to try to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and not just to assume anything. And since Tuesday night, when a group of us met to just pray and deliberate, I just kept hearing miracles, 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 miracles. And I began to think on what actually constitutes a miracle. So, are you okay? Please, I need you, sir, on this side. Yeah, I just need, when you're in the airplane and they feel that too many people are sitting on one side of the plane. You see the hostesses start to upgrade people. Yeah, can you just move to this side so that we have a balance and the plane doesn't go that way? Amen. Miracles, miracles. And what constitutes a miracle? What constitutes a miracle is simple. What man cannot do, what naturally is not meant to be. Through every sensible, natural means, this is not just possible to happen. It is not meant to happen. It cannot happen. So it has to take something supernatural, something over and above to be. That is a miracle. And that is what God alone can do. Because with my own little brain some 33 years ago, I just tried to figure out in my head that what should make God God is the fact that he should be able to do what man cannot do. That should be what one of the things, or one major thing that should make God God. Because if man can do it, then we don't need God. We don't need God. Why do we pray? We pray, most times when we are in need. Let's just be honest. Most of the prayers that we usually pray are prayers of, you need something and you want God to do something. You're expecting something. You want God to do something. But do you realize that God has actually already done everything? Jesus Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." The Bible tells us about God, that God who sees, he knows the end from the beginning, which means that as far as God is concerned, God has seen the end. So are you going through any affliction, any pain, any expectation? God has seen the end. God is already at the end of whatever it is, your expectation, your pain, your affliction, your lack, your want, your need. God is already at the end of it. And using my little brain again, then I began to understand why God says in everything we should give thanks. Just thank me. Just keep thanking me. Because you know what? I've seen the end. I am at the end already. You can't see the end, but I have seen the end. Just thank me because I know the end. It is finished. Just endure till that end. Because it is at the end, every vision speaks. It is at the end, every promise is fulfilled. When does something end? At the end. And where is God? At the end, even from the beginning. Come on. Just cheer up. God is faithful. God is not going to start something at the beginning and then abandon you before the end. Because he can't. He's already at the end. He can't, even if God wants to. That's why the Bible declares to us, it is impossible for God to lie. So what we need to find out is, what is the truth that God has said? What is the truth that God has said? And that is all we need. You find out the truth and hold on to the truth, because God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. 23, verse 19. Thank you. God is not a man that he should lie. He's neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and shall he not do it? Do it. What is it? What he has said. Is it? And he says, as he's spoken, shall he not make it good? So what is it that God has said and what is it that God has spoken? That is all we need to hold on to. Because that's what he will do and that's what he will make good. Now, is this verse 20? It's as if I've never read it before. I'm beginning to have an understanding of it. Because we will tie it into what we've been studying, because we just want to wrap up the part two of God's divine promises and divine protection that we started, quite a while back, looking at what happened to Paul. Look at verse 20. It says, behold, I have received a command to what? Bless. Now, look at this. Look at God's characteristics again. Look at God's modus operandi, how God operates. Okay. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. When God blesses, it is irreversible. Nobody can reverse it. No power, no principality, no situation, no affliction can reverse God's blessings. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. It is irreversible. Irreversible. Whatever God blesses. And what we need to understand from what we started learning on Sunday is that, look, do you realize that you are blessed? And you realize that God even wants to bless you more than you even want God to bless you. Because God has blessed. And he can't reverse. We are the ones who simply just walk out of the blessing. And we don't enjoy what he has blessed. God has blessed. God, the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Repentance. From Genesis, you need to go to the beginning. Right? Go to the beginning of everything. Because that's one of the things Jesus was saying when some people came to me and said, Moses told us to do this. He said, no. From the beginning, it was not so. God has not changed his mind. Whatever God has said is what he will do. He's not changed his mind. He has blessed mankind. He created mankind from the beginning and blessed mankind. That's why when mankind missed it, he wiped off the entire mankind and preserved one family, as repeated the blessing. You know, he repeated it. In fact, along the line, before he wiped off that family, there was a family of Abraham. What happened to Abraham? He even called Abraham, okay, you know what? Look, I'm going to bless you so that in you all the families of the earth, no discrimination, will be blessed. And even when everybody blew it, he brought Jesus and said, in him shall all the fullness of God dwell. We are blessed in Christ Jesus. Blessed is the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed, blessed. We are blessed people. The key is not to violate the conditions so that we enjoy the blessings. Now, let's tie this up with the Bible study we'll be having. When the Lord is with you, who can be against you? We see the story in this Acts chapter 23, because we will wrap up that Acts chapter 23 today, of, you know, how God sent an angel to Paul. Because you have to understand that what God has said is what God will do. God does not change his mind about when he comes to blessing, divine protection. By the grace of God on Sunday, we'll see a picture of someone who is blessed. The real picture. It's not houses. It's not cars. It's not, you know, possessions. All those things are just a little bit of the symptom, the manifestation, the snippets you see, just to indicate. They are indicators, but they are not it. Now, God, through an angel, appears to Paul in Acts 23 from verse 11. Let's start from there. Our key scriptures to study tonight is just 23, verse 23 to 35, which I'll read shortly, but let's tie it. Now, in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him," by Paul, "and said," please note that word "said," "what will God do?" Whatever God said is what he will do. God is not going to do what he didn't say. And please, let us not try to make God say what he didn't say. Because at times, that's what perhaps we try to do. To make God say what he didn't say. Okay, so what did the Lord say here? "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness of me in Rome." God said it. And then you know what happened? The following day, all hell broke loose. They were going to kill him. In spite of what God said. Have you read when Jesus was given the interpretation of the parable of the sower? He said, the affliction arose for the word's sake. In other words, affliction will always come. The affliction arose because the word has been released. So at times, when you are facing so much attack, affliction, please, it's because God has said something. You are wondering, why all this trouble? Am I the only one? Why? And you know, is that why exactly that the enemy wants us to die in that why? Why me? No. Instead of why me, please look at what God said. Don't look at the why me. Don't look at the affliction. Affliction arose for the word's sake, because the word had gone forth. The following day, they banned. That was when, is it 40 of them, 40 jobless human beings, demon-possessed. The Bible said they came, they made a conspiracy. They planned how they will wipe him off. They went into fasting. Dry fasting. No food. Can you imagine how serious that is? I've heard of people go on hunger strike. They said, "We will eat nothing or drink until we kill him." Look at the terrible thing. Look at that verse 14. They said, "We have even brought ourselves under a curse." Look at it. Look at the King James Version. The King James Version uses curse. Please give us the King James Version. "And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul.'" You know what? We don't care. But when did all this come? After God said. After God said. Let me tell us what I've learned about God. When God speaks, God is not talking about now. He's talking about the end. What God is saying is what will happen at the end. So if he says you are blessed, I have blessed you, at the end, you will be blessed. If he says no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper, every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. If he says no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper, it means that weapons will be fashioned against you. But God is telling you the end. Yeah, the weapons will come. But at the end, you shall not prosper. I'm beginning to just see that dimension of God. At the end, that's why he says, he that endures till the end. Till the end. The end. Please. Don't give up before the end. Don't write yourself off. Don't say, because of all the wars you have seen, I am finished. No. Jesus never said, I am finished. Jesus said, it is finished. It. It. They bound themselves. We will kill him. They even conspired with the rulers. Just, don't worry. Just lure him, bring him. Don't worry, don't worry. You just say you want to examine him further. And this is what we will do. Well planned. But excuse me. God told Paul the end. You are going to testify in Rome. What has God said? What exactly has God said? If God says by the stripes of Jesus you are healed, it means that you likely experience sickness. But there's an end. The end of that sickness is that by the stripes, the blood will speak better things than that of Abel. So I've just come to tell somebody tonight, wait till the end. So they bound themselves and see how God began to work. At the point at which they were making the conspiracy, a little boy, innocent boy, overheard. He went, called one of, went to tell the you know, let's look at it. Let's just follow the story. Paul's sister's son, verse 16, heard. He went, and he went to tell Paul. Paul called the centurion. He said, take the young man to the chief captain. He took him to the chief captain. He brought him aside. He spoke. The chief captain went. And what did he do? Let's go down to verse 22. He told the young man to go. He said, don't tell anybody. Then he now called two centurions. Do you know what a centurion is? Just look at that word, sent. 100. Two. That is two people, commanders, who each command at least 100 soldiers. And he said, get how many soldiers to 200. Just get me 200 of your men. They are going to take this Paul. Yeah? Get me horsemen. How many of them? 70 horsemen. Now get me spearmen. How many? 200. And when? In the third hour of the night. Do you know when the third hour of the night is? Let me see. I wrote it down somewhere. Third hour of the night is, who knows? Anybody found it somewhere? I'll get it now. Is at the third hour of the night. The night begins at 6 p.m. So the third hour is 9 p.m. Get me. And what did he say? Provide them beasts. So, verse 23, the commander called two officers, centurions. Right, I'm reading from a version called the Expanded Bible. Okay, it says, prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 men with spears to leave for Caesarea at 9 o'clock tonight. They're not even going to wait till tomorrow. Get some horses for Paul to ride so he can be taken to the governor Felix. And he wrote a letter that said, from Claudius Lysias to the most excellent governor Felix. Greetings! Some of the Jews had taken, seized this man and planned to kill him. But I learned he's a Roman citizen. So I went with my soldiers and saved him. I wanted to know why they were accusing him. So I brought him before the council meeting. I learned that the accusation had to do with questions about their own law. That's the law of Moses, but no charge was worthy of death or jail. When I was told that some of them were planning to kill Paul, I sent him to you at once. I ordered them, that is his accusers, to tell you what they have against him. So the soldiers did what they were told and took Paul and brought him to the city of Antipatris, which is 40 miles from Jerusalem, 25 miles from Caesarea. That night, the next day, the horsemen went with Paul to Caesarea, but the other soldiers went back to the army building in Jerusalem. When the horsemen came to Caesarea and gave the letter to governor, they turned Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked Paul, "What area are you from?" I mean, just look at what looks so natural, but it was divine. So natural. Commander, look at his own reason for saving Paul. I learned he's a Roman citizen. That's why I saved him. What looks so natural, but yet there was a supernatural hand behind it. Some things will just be happening to you naturally. You are wondering. Let me tell you something. At times we are too superstitious, religious, that we think if it's not spectacular, it is not supernatural. It's just got, you know, you just expect, chariots, or fire will just come from heaven, and I just yank Paul in the night, phew. No, Roman citizen. The Bible tells us that we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Our king will protect his own. Do you understand how kingdoms operate? Have you noticed that even when, let me use the United Kingdom, when a United Kingdom citizen commits a crime in another country, it's a crime. But the fact that it's a citizen of the United Kingdom, the United Kingdom will go and negotiate with our country, please just release the person to us. We don't mind if they even serve jail here, but you know what, release. I remember one girl many years ago, young girl, UK citizen, who carried drugs into one of these countries, I think Thailand or somewhere, and death sentence. I mean death. They don't waste time. You carry drugs. No, you're gone. But she was a UK citizen. They couldn't kill her. They were still doing all the diplomatic whatever. At the end of the day, they released her to the United States, that she will come and serve jail here. Think about it. You are a heavenly citizen. The enemy wants to kill you. The king says, no, you can't kill. Just send him. Let him come and serve his prison term in heaven. We need to understand how kingdom operates. God has said it. It will come to pass. Whichever way. Took him. Governor read the letter and asked Paul, "What area, what province are you from?" When he landed, Paul was from Cilicia. They began to even talk about, citizen matters. He said, "I will hear your case when those who are against your accusers, when they come here too." Then the governor gave orders for Paul to be kept under guard in Herod's palace. God has said he was going to testify a room. And God arranged. Got some crazy people who thought, they didn't know they were aiding God's purpose to get that guy to Rome. Brethren, divine promises is all we need. What has God said? Please, not what has God not said. What do you know that God has said? I know one thing God has told us, that 2019 is a very, very good year. At the end, it will speak. So look at this year. Have you faced all manner of affliction? All manner of accusation? Because, you know, it's so funny. Because I just noticed when God, every time God gives us a promise as a church, it's as if that particular area is attacked. God spoke to us, he's giving us buildings. We started moving from building to building. But at the end, God has got a good sense of humor. Watch it. You just say affliction. For the world's sake. For the world's sake. We need to understand how God operates and how the enemy too tries to shift our focus so that we lose that God's promise. We don't see the promises again. We see the affliction. Excuse me. Please just rise to our feet tonight. Let's go into Thanksgiving. I don't know what you want to thank God for, but look at the affliction you have. Let me give you a clue. Look at what has attacked you most this year. Look at the discouragements you have faced most this year. Is it your home? Is it your marriage? Is it to do with children? Is it to do with your job? Is it to do with your finances? It is because God has spoken. It is because God has spoken. And listen, God is not a man. Stop panicking. Stop panicking. Stop shaking. Please go into Thanksgiving tonight. Oh Lord, we thank you. Oh Lord, we come before you today. There's just one thing we want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All we want to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, as a church, we say thank you. We have journeyed from the north to the south, from the east to the west. Lord, we have been afflicted. Lord, we have been buffeted on every side. We've been lied against. We've been ridiculed. We've been literally told, where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your God? You're always in church. You're always doing that. Oh, Lord, Father, we thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you. Even for some of us that have been afflicted, like the psalmist said, it is a good thing that we have been afflicted because we wouldn't have learned your law. We wouldn't have been driven to your promises to know what you have said. Please thank God for all the affliction you've faced this year. Every delay for years that you have been experiencing, break that yoke tonight. Go into Thanksgiving. Remain in the presence of God, for in his presence there is the fullness of joy. That is where our joy will be full. We come into his presence. We enter your presence tonight with thanksgiving. We enter your gates tonight with thanksgiving. We enter your courts tonight with praise.